Well, good evening, everyone. Let's all stand if it's convenient. He is able to deliver thee.
Yeah.
great.
That's right. You did good. You passed the test. Going to read our scripture passage, and then we're going to take off where we left off this morning, implementing the plan. Acts, the first chapter. Let's stand together. We're going to start with verse 3. Here we go. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which your Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world or earth. Now turn back to John, the 14th chapter, and look down at verse 12. Or up at it, whichever one your Bible is. 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, and it's capitalized, so it's talking about the Holy Spirit, even the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You may be seated. Now, we've been talking about God's plan for for us taking as many with us as we possibly can. And so we know that his plan began with the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that the Son of God was wrapped in earthly robes and walked among us in human form. And the Bible says we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we talk about implementing the plan of the incarnation strategy, so this is the Holy Spirit living in each Christian. Every one of you that are born again has the Holy Spirit living within you. Now, there is some that would question about when they talk about the baptism of the Spirit, whether or not we have all of the Spirit, because some would say that that's a second blessing, that you get more of the Spirit. But I don't believe it is a question of whether or not we have all of the Spirit because of what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that part of it comes inside of us. But I think what it has to do with how much of us the Holy Spirit has. And so I think that because God has it in His plan that we are people of choice. We choose, you choose. Whether or not you receive Him as your Savior, you choose whether or not to walk in His steps. So I think that it's a matter of choice on our part. Ray Steadman made this statement. I don't agree with everything that Ray Steadman writes, but I certainly agree with this. Christians are not to be like salesmen going out to peddle a product. And if we're not cautious, we find ourselves like that. Door-to-door salesmen, selling things. Nor are they to be recruiters trying to get people to join a religious club. By doing this, the church has become false and has lost its power. The mark of a carnal church is that it loves to talk about itself. These early Christians never witnessed about the church at all. They witnessed about the Lord, what He could do, how He could work, what a fantastic person He was, how amazing His power was, and what He could do in human hearts. I need to read that on a regular basis in my life. If I'm not cautious, I find myself bragging on the church. When in reality, what we need to be bragging on is Jesus. I mean, I think that we do need to have a church that we can be proud of. I would hate to think that we were coming to a church and we didn't like the church, that we weren't proud of the church, but at the same time, we need to set the emphasis on bragging on Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit always does. He never speaks about Himself. He always speaks about Jesus. And any time that you see a group or an individual talking about bragging on the Holy Spirit, you can be sure that the Spirit is not doing that. The Spirit always lifts up Jesus. Always lifts up Jesus. The baptism with the Spirit is not intended to make us happy, but to make us effective. And if we can get anything from what the Scripture teaches tonight, I hope that we will grab hold of that truth. We should not look for an ecstatic experience, but for power and efficiency for God. R.A. Torrey wrote those words. The purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Number one, not primarily for the purpose of cleansing from sin, even though I believe it does. Because the Holy Spirit points out sin. If you study the scripture, you understand that that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. He points out sin in our life. He points to those things where we are missing the mark. It's not primarily for the purpose of cleansing from sin, but for the purpose of empowering for service. I don't believe that a person can live in sin and still be empowered for service. I just don't believe it happens. Now, we might put on a show, but the power coming from the Holy Spirit, I don't think it happens. If a person is living in sin, now, that doesn't mean that if you make a mistake and stump your toe and sin, that the Holy Spirit's not going to use you. That's not what I mean at all. Yeah. If I'm headed to the mailbox and I stump my toe and fall and skin my knee, I wouldn't say, well, I'm not going to go to the mailbox anymore because I've fallen here in the gravel. No, I would pick up and dust off and go on. And I think that's what God means for us to do. I would not wallow in that place. And that's where we cannot be as Christians, is staying in that place of sin. I don't think the Holy Spirit will allow that in our life. This is Lanyism, and you can, I think that I can back up what I believe with Scripture, but I believe that when a Christian gets in sin, the Holy Spirit convicts that person of that sin. The devil says, you're a liar, you're a cheat. The Holy Spirit says, you lied, you cheated. It emphasizes the sin, the very sin. He is our accuser. You see, if you accuse somebody of being a liar, that's an accusation against them. The Holy Spirit pinpoints the sin. Now, this is what I think happens in the life of a Christian when they get into sin. I think the Holy Spirit pinpoints that sin and convicts the individual of that sin. I think that the Holy Spirit gives that individual an opportunity to take the door of escape. There's no temptation taking you, the Bible says, but such as is common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. So I think the Holy Spirit always points to the door of escape for us. He points out the sin, then He points to the door of escape. If we choose, and I think that we have the ability to choose, if we choose to go in the direction of sin, I think that unless we repent, that God will kill us. That's Lanyism. That's what I believe. I believe that if an individual who professes to be a Christian is able to continue to live in sin, and then I think that there's something wrong with their relationship. There's lots of false teaching on the baptism of the Spirit, and it's taught by some very earnest Christians who are wrong. The baptism is taught by some earnest folks that I have dealt with that I thought were very fine Christian people, that baptism is a second blessing following salvation. I think that I can agree with this to a point, because I think that we grow as Christians. We grow with the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And so we become closer to Him. And not that we get more of Him, but we become closer to Him. I know one of the prayers that Lyle used to pray was, Lord, take us to deeper depths and higher heights. And I think that is possible in the life of a Christian, that we can get deeper, that we can get higher. And we do that by hanging out with the Lord. We do that by spending time with Him, reading His Word and praying. The baptism with the Holy Spirit can be instantaneously received. And when I talk about the baptism of the Spirit, I'm talking about where the Spirit, where we're walking in Spirit and Spirit has control of us. We talked about baptism this morning, new nature, new clothed anew, everything new in our life. Well, I can agree with this because I think that when we get saved, we get all the Holy Spirit. But I don't think that it is true that when we get saved, most of the time that He doesn't get all of us. I think that we grow in that. We're hard-headed. We have areas that we don't like to give up and give into. Some teach that baptism with the Holy Spirit, and some very honest, good Christian people teach that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the eradication of the sinful nature. And I believe that's false. The Nazarene Church teaches that as a doctrine, that you can reach a place without sin. And some of the Pentecostal churches teach that you can reach a place in your life without sin. I don't believe it. Maybe if I had somebody else's body, I would believe it. But I don't believe it. I have to look at myself in the mirror every day. And I know Lanny. And I know that I have I'm keeping a sin nature. Because it's a wrong thought, a wrong motive. I just know Lanny and the Holy Spirit deals with me about those conditions in my life, and I read the Scripture and it convicts me, and I think that's what it's supposed to do. Someone said that you're reading the Bible. No, it's reading you. As you read it, it reads you. So we're empowered for service and strengthened with might in the inner man. Let's look at Ephesians, the third chapter. And look at verse 16. And here, I think Paul is writing a letter to the church at Ephesus, but I think he's praying for them through this letter that He would grant you, he's talking about God, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. How much is that? Quite a little bit, wouldn't you say? According to the riches of His glory. It's an unlimited source. And so in our lives, as we live for the Lord, and as the Holy Spirit lives within us, there's this unlimited source of power that is available to us. And most of the time, we just don't, we're running on three cylinders or something. We just don't use that power that the Lord has available for us. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His, and that word Spirit there is, of course, the Holy Spirit in the inner man. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at Romans 8:2. The work of the Spirit is to bring the believer to a place where he's free of the law and the sin of death. Now, let me get to that. Romans 8 and verse 2. Did I say 3? I meant 2. For the law of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. The difference between the nature in a Christian and the nature of sin in a Christian, the nature of sin in the lost person, the sin in the lost person is automatic. The sin in the Christian is different. He has a way out. He's offered a door of escape. He doesn't have to go that direction. He doesn't have to live that way. He's got the power within him to live above that, not in himself, but by the power of the Spirit. If I get on an airplane, and Mick could probably explain all this to us, but I get on an airplane and it's built in such a way that it gravity's still there, but it this law of aerodynamics takes hold and it lifts up above that gravity, and it's able to fly even though gravity is still in force. And the way that we could know that gravity is still in force is for us to just step off the airplane. And we would figure out, right, Nick, that gravity's still there, and we would plunge to the ground. Well, the Holy Spirit living in us, when we're faced with sin and temptation, we're able to fly above that. But if we step out of the power of the Holy Spirit, if we stop allowing Him to be in charge of our life, we're going to discover that gravity is still in force. That power of sin is still in force. Before I was saved, I had no choice over sin other than my own morality and conscience. And I didn't have much of that. Let's look. I meant to read 8:13 also. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, Galatians is a great teacher on this subject. Galatians, Ephesians. So turn to Galatians 5:16 with me. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have a choice. We have a choice. We choose whether or not to walk in the Spirit or not. Baptism of the Spirit brings about a transformed life, but it also brings about a transformed ministry. Look at Acts 2 And let's see, a couple different ones. Well, let's read 44 first. And all that believed were together and had all things common. That's a great miracle. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Go back up to verse 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. It's not, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. This is not natural living. It's supernatural living. It is not natural for us to take what we have and give to folks that don't have. That's supernatural. For us to meet other people's needs, that's supernatural. For us to love one another like brothers and sisters, that's not natural, that's supernatural. So, what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does in our life. Acts 1:8, you shall receive supernatural power. The Holy Spirit imparts power for two things. And those two things are not for some kind of glory for ourselves or any kind of glory for the church, but it's always for Christ. Number one, he imparts power for us to be able to witness. We're up against the wall if we're trying to witness without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When you have an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, God has brought this person into your life, and there is something within you that says, speak to that person about Jesus. And you do that out of obedience to the Spirit. The Spirit gives you the power to be able to share with them, because it's not a natural thing. And you know, we can start bragging on the church. We can start bragging on what all we have. But the Holy Spirit empowers us to brag on Jesus. The second thing that it does, it empowers us for service for the Lord. And service means that we're doing for others. We're doing for the kingdom. That service is for the kingdom. When I was growing up, they had a different kind of service station than what we have now. They had what they called a full service station. Any of you remember those? We had one of those. We operated one of those. You drove up to the gas pump, and you didn't have to get out of your car if you didn't want to. Service meant that someone else pumped your gas for you. Service meant that they would open your hood and check your oil, put oil in your car if it needed it. If your tires needed air, they would put air in your tires. That's the reason the air was out there by the gas. If you use those old bi-ply tires, a lot of them, some of them were leaking, and you put air in people's tires, and you'd check their fan belt and things like that. And they call that full service. So what is service whenever we think about the church and the Holy Spirit empowering us for service in the church? Well, it's doing for others. It's doing for other people. It's taking care of the orphans. It's taking care of the widows. It's feeding people that are hungry. We could go on. It's helping people. It's coming alongside folks whose heart is broke. It's helping folks that cannot help themselves. It's doing for those that cannot do for themselves. That's what service of the church is all about. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to give us a heart of service to do for others what they cannot do for themselves. And that in itself is a witness for the church. Two more passages and then we'll quit. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of this one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized, there's our word again, into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. Now, look one more time at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and look at verse 12. Now he gives this list. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's stand together. And Brother Ron Sims, will you dismiss us with a word of prayer?